and welcome to Together in Christ, the radio ministry of Monroe Missionary Baptist Church. We would love to have you join us for worship today. Our Bible studies begin at 9 a.m. for all ages, followed by a service at 10:30 a.m., and then our evening discipleship service at 6:30 p.m. We are located at 14260 South Dixie Highway in Monroe, Michigan. Our phone number is 734-241-6860. You can also find more on our website, www.mmbconline.org. Here is a message from our senior pastor, Roy Sutherland.
If you have your Bible this morning, would you join me and turn to the book of Colossians in the New Testament, chapter 1. We're going to begin reading in verse 15 in a moment. Last week, we introduced this new series entitled, That's a Great Question. We're going to be looking at some great questions that people are asking out of the Bible, things that relate to Christ, things that relate to the kingdom, things that relate to the church. And today, we hope to answer the question of, who is this Jesus? Who is this Jesus? Now, I find it interesting as I begin to open up our thoughts this morning and our minds to the question of who is this Jesus. If you listen to the radio or to the news or to the TV or joining conversations where you work or sometimes even in your home at the dinner table, it's a fascinating conversation when people begin to talk about Jesus. You hear a lot of different stuff. You hear people talking about him as if they know him, but when you really listen, you begin to realize, now wait a minute, where did this Jesus come from? Because it's not the Jesus of the Bible. You see, I want us to know that the Jesus that we are believing in, the Jesus that we are following, is the one that God has revealed to us, both in the person of his Son, but also in his Word. And so we're going to open the Word of God. And I hope the Jesus that you are following is the Jesus of the Bible, because if not, guess what? You need to find that Jesus. You need to follow that Jesus. This past week, I found it interesting. You know, I don't know if ever there will be a boundary in politics that should alarm us with all that's happening in the world, and not just here in our own country, but internationally. I heard people this week who seem to be talking a lot about theology, about God stuff, that have no idea who Jesus is, but they were telling me that they knew what Jesus would do in certain situations. And I thought, where did they find that? Because the Jesus I read about tells me other things. Everybody has their opinion about who Jesus is. Would you agree? Most of the time, we're trying to make Jesus who we want him to be. We want him to fit our lifestyle, fit into our agenda and our schedule. Well, that's not how God is. That's not how Jesus is. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Culture won't change him. Times won't change him. People can't change him. Nothing changes him. He is the everlasting God, and we're going to see that this morning. So let's read, beginning in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. As Paul writes to the church at Colossae, he says this, referring to the one who has brought redemption in verse 13 and verse 14 through his blood, he says, this is the one who is the image, verse 15, of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father, notice verse 19, it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having been made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated, Paul starts talking about us now in this verse. He says, those of us who were sometimes alienated and enemies in our minds by wicked works, yet now hath been reconciled. Everybody ought to shout hallelujah on that. We're going to talk about that in a moment. We've been reconciled. How? In the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable, unreprovable in his sight, if you continue in the faith grounded and settled and be not moved from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. So this morning we entertain the question, who is this Jesus? Who is this Jesus that everybody seems to be talking about, who has their minds made up? Now, let me just begin before I look at the scriptural Jesus, the biblical Jesus, by helping us to understand what Paul is trying to confront in the book of Colossians with the believers in Colossae. This was the early days of what in the Bible is called Gnosticism, a period of time where people felt like they were coming to an understanding, a greater knowledge than those before them, and they were figuring out God on their own. It was based upon the fact that this group, especially during this period of time, that there were those who couldn't understand evil and sin in the world, and a good God could not have created evil and could not have created sin and could not have ever allowed that. So they believed that over the process of time, there was this evolution process spiritually that was taking place where things that started good were getting bad. Or that in the sense of who this Jesus is, that Jesus was an emanation. He was an evolving angel, one that God sent that was created, not the creator. And so he's dealing with the knowledge of men. That's why he talks about philosophies in here and vain deceits. He's talking about how people have tried to figure out who the Lord Jesus is, how he ought to be in their minds, and the type of God that he ought to be. And so Paul is confronting people who want to follow Jesus, but they want to follow him based upon their intelligence, who they perceive him to be, how they figure him to be. And I've said this from this pulpit, I want to say it again. Listen, we never should be asking questions like this: who is Jesus to you? We should be asking questions like this: who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? It's not who Jesus is to someone, it's who is Jesus. Period. Because Jesus is Jesus. And as I said earlier, he's always been, he always will be. He is today what he was yesterday. He never changes. And when we live in a culture in which we're living in today, this is a very, very important subject matter for us, because the culture says because things are changing, then Jesus ought to change, or our perception of Jesus. Wouldn't Jesus be okay with that anyway? Doesn't Jesus just love everybody anyway? Does it really matter how we live? Because Jesus just loves everybody. He just is oozing with love. Well, the Bible tells us that Jesus is quite different than the perceptions of men. And so Paul is confronting that. So let's look at this from the Bible this morning. Now, I'm going to have to hurry. I do not want to take a long time today. And here's why. Here's why I won't take a long time with this. I have nothing to prove to you this morning. Can I say that up front? I'm as free as a bird. I have no pressure. I don't feel as though I'm talking to someone that I've got to convince who Jesus is. There are people that are going to listen to this over the internet. There are people who are going to watch this on TV. There are those who are going to find this message in various forms. And in their mind, like many in our world today, they think we have to prove to them who Jesus is. They have it so wrong. We have nothing to prove. Jesus has already proven himself. We have nothing to prove. And here's why I say that. The Jesus of the Bible has to be believed either by faith or by human intelligence. And many people choose human intelligence because he doesn't fit. But you will not be able to follow the Jesus of the Bible unless you follow him by faith. You will believe it by faith. The Jesus of the Bible doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to love your enemies the way Jesus loved his enemies. It doesn't make sense to look in religion and see where Jesus confronts religion the way he confronted religion in his day. Jesus, with our intelligence, will never make sense. We follow the Jesus of the Bible by faith and faith alone. We believe it or we don't. People say, but I can't believe something. You can't prove to me. Then forget it. You're going to wind up in hell one day because you followed Jesus by faith. We don't have to prove. Jesus proved himself when he died, was buried, and rose again. As Matt sang and said a moment ago, he almost had a little preach in him, didn't he? when he started talking about this Jesus. He's the first fruits. He's already proven himself. But let's see what the Bible tells us. So I'm going to work through this as if it's almost an educational process to me. I'm a teacher giving you information, but it's very important information. Because when I give you this, if you say, well, wait a minute, I have a problem with that, you have a problem with the Word of God and you have a problem with Jesus. Who is the Jesus of the Bible? Number one, Jesus of the Bible is God in human flesh. He is God in human flesh. He was not created. He is not some angel that is evolved. And when you hear all of these religions that preach, yes, we believe in Jesus, we believe he was created being, he's an angel, or he's this representation of this person in the Bible, that person in the Bible, they do not believe in the Bible of Jesus of the Bible. Because in verse 15, it tells us that he is the image of the invisible God. He is the image. He is God. He is exact God. That word image means he is God in the flesh, in human flesh. That's why in a few weeks, we're going to celebrate Christmas. You know why we celebrate Christmas? God has come. God has come in the flesh. When Christ came, God came. That's why Isaiah 9:6 says, a child will be born. A son will be given. That's why John 1:14 says, the Word became what? Flesh and dwelt among us. You and I need to understand that the Jesus of the Bible is God who came to earth in human flesh, took our sins to the cross, was buried, and rose again for our salvation. We're going to end with that today. Jesus is God, and he's God in the flesh. When we saw Jesus, what we see about Jesus in the Bible, that's how we see God. What we know about Jesus is what we know about God. Even Jesus said this. Get this. Here's what Jesus said. I and my Father are one. Or what? He didn't say we just believe the same things. He said, I and my Father are one. We are the same. The Jesus of the Bible is God in human flesh. Now listen to me. This is important, folks. Listen to what I'm about to say. He's not somewhat like God. He doesn't just resemble God. No. He is all God. You know how I know that? Because verse 19 says this, it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. All of God is in Jesus. All of Jesus is God. They are one. Jesus is God in human flesh. Number two, Jesus is ruler over all things. It says in verse 15 again that he is the firstborn of all creation or every creature. Some people read that, they read it in their English, and they say then, if he's the firstborn of all creation, he must have been created. Isn't that what it's saying? Not at all. Not at all. The word firstborn in the Greek simply means the one who has authority, who rules over creation. The firstborn, even in the Old Testament, was the one who was given the authority. What he's saying is this, the Jesus of the Bible is the one who rules over all things. He is the authority. We're going to see later he's the authority in the church. But he says he is the ruler. The word is protokos, P-R-O-T-O-K-O-S in Greek. You don't care about that, and I don't either, but it made me sound smart for a moment. Protokos, chief, ruling authority, supreme one. Now listen, let me offend a lot of folks. Here's why a lot of people want to try to make Jesus their Jesus, the one that they want to follow, because they want to be in control. They don't want a Jesus that's in control. Yeah, I believe in your Jesus as long as I can be who I want to be and do what I want to do and live the way I want to live. Listen, you won't follow my Jesus that way because he has none of that. He is the ruler. He is the authority. He is protokos. He is firstborn. He rules in your life if you follow him. No, he is ruler. And so when I see people who are always telling me, well, Pastor, you don't understand. I live any way I want to live as long as I believe in the grace of Jesus. You got the Bible all wrong. Your theology is all messed up. You can't live any way you want to live. There is an authority. His name is Jesus. And he rules and he reigns. He is the firstborn over all creation. That's why the Bible says he is the supreme one. We don't talk about Jesus being King of Kings as if it's something that we just made up in our minds. No, Jesus is King of Kings. He rules. He's Lord of Lords. He's the highest of the highest. He's not one day going to rule. He rules now. You look at the world, people say, well, if Jesus is in control, we got a mess. No, no, he's got it all under control. Trust me. Trust me. He's going to bring all this chaos in one day to peace when he comes. He's got it under his hand. He is ruler. He is authority. Now listen, when you read that and you see that and you see the mess of the world, if in your mind you try to figure out Jesus, you say, that makes no sense. That's why you believe by faith. He is either the one who's ruling over all things or he's not. He's let the world get out of control. That's why he says, let me just move forward. He just follows this pattern. You see this pattern developing in Colossians. Here's Jesus. He is God in human flesh. He's Jesus who rules. He's the ruler over all things. He created all things and he sustains all things, he says in the very next verses. Look at verse 16 and verse 17. It says in verse 16, for by him were all things created that were in heaven, that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and by the way, for him. He is before all things and by him all things consist. Those two verses tell us that this Jesus who is ruler over all things both created all things and sustains all things. Listen, the world's not in chaos. No, no, we think it is. From our perception, it's in chaos. It will only be chaos if Jesus took his hand off control of the world. He created all things. He sustains all things. He keeps the world working. It blows my mind, and pardon me, people are going to call me simple, and that's okay. I'm okay with that. The intellectuals are going to look at me and say, Pastor, you're not nearly as smart as we thought you were. And that will be a compliment to me at this point. How in the world does anyone look at the beauty and the grandeur, the wonder of creation, and think that it evolved? I don't need a scientist to talk to me about anything. I don't need someone to go to a test tube or to take a rock and tell me an age. All it takes is for these human eyes to behold the wonder of this world, to know that someone great and awesome created it. Now, folks, listen, don't reduce yourself to a dummy. The world would want you to do that. All I've got to do is drive across this world and see the canyons and a sunrise or a sunset on the beach. All I've got to do is gaze into the stars on a dark, cold night and see the vastness and to know that, listen, he knows every one of them. You're going to tell me to believe that that all happened by accident? That we have just evolved into this beautiful thing, this world that we have? No. No. The Jesus of the Bible created all of it. In the beginning, he and the Father created it all with the Holy Spirit according to Genesis. And he breathed life into the nostrils of man. He created all things and he sustains all things. The world's not out of control. People may be out of control, but he's not out of control. God's not losing it. God's not hindered. God's not bound. No, no. It may seem evil is winning. Confusion reigns. No. If God, through his son Jesus, took his hand off of creation, that's when chaos exists. He is God in the flesh. He is ruler. He is the firstborn over all creation, all creatures. He created all things. He sustains all things. And then he says in verse 18, he is the head of the body, the church. Now he's not talking about Monroe Missionary Baptist Church, this building and a sign that says Monroe Missionary Baptist Church. He's talking about the group of believers who followed him. He is the head of the body of the church. Now, by the way, let me tell you something. The church is not dead either. There are people who say, well, the church is dead. Organized religion may be dying, and I'm of the agreement it's dying real fast. But the church ain't dead. Pardon my ain't, if you're an English teacher. The church is not dead. It can't be. It's impossible for the church to be dead. The church is a living organism. We're alive. The church, the body of Christ, is a living organism. And he says the head of the church, or the body, the church. He talks about this, the body having all these different features. The head of the body of Christ is Jesus. The head simply means this. He is in control of all things. He gives function. He gives purpose. He gives direction. That's why when I was praying earlier for the search team, I don't want to pray that they would have enough intelligence to know the man to choose, because they don't. I know all of those people on that team. They're wise people and they're smart people. But only the Lord knows who he has chosen. Why? Because he's the one that can give direction to the body. That's why we're to pray, God, you showed them. It's the head. Listen, have you ever, we've used these phrases, well, they've lost their head. They've lost their mind. You know why we say that? When a person loses their mind, they lose control. They lose function. They don't have purpose, and they just up one day and down the next. Listen, that's why the church is marching forward. Listen, don't think the church is being defeated. No, we're marching forward. We've got a head that is directing and controlling our function. That's why we pray for direction. Matt, you may not know this, but I believe this because we talk about it. Did you know when he selects songs for services, he's looking to the head to select songs that will honor the head? Because he don't know what songs. Now listen, some of you may get offended by this. You're going to say, well, I wished he'd sing this. Well, we don't care. I'm just going to be real honest with you. Because you're probably thinking you want to sing that because you like the tune. Or you like the way it moves. Or you like the flow. Or your best group sings it. No. We need to know, what does the head want? Is it honorable to him? Listen, it doesn't really matter about the flow or the tune. What matters is if the head is directing it. Now, when Matt starts directing in the flesh, we'll give him a little boot and take care of him. I say that because Matt and I love each other. I don't mean that the wrong way. He tries to see. Pastor Tim tries to lead the direction of our student ministry and our family ministry as the direction of the head leads him. He's not the head. He may be a hand. Matt may be a hand. Tim may be a foot. I'm probably a big ear. You know, some of you are noses. You don't believe me? Look in the mirror. That's what 1 Corinthians 12 says. The body has all, but there's only one head of the church, and it's not the pastor, and it's not the staff, and it's not the deacons, and it's not a controlling board. It is Jesus. We follow Jesus. And the reason the world, if it is in a mess, I know the reason religion is in a mess, organized Christianity is in a mess, is because we've allowed ourselves to follow men rather than following Christ, who is the head. Christ is the head of the church. The Bible teaches that. He gives function and direction. Then he leads us further and he says, he is the only peacemaker between God and man. I want to close here. God in human flesh, who came with a purpose. Jesus didn't just choose to come without a purpose. When we sing about that babe born in a manger, he came with a purpose. He came because God, listen to me, God was angry with man. You say, God can't get angry. God was angry at sinful man. The Bible teaches us God is angry at sin. So when you hear these people who say, well, the Jesus of the Bible, he's just an all-loving God. No, he's also a just God. And he's a holy God. And he hates sin. And guess what? He hates your sin. And he hates my sin. He's not pleased when Roy sins. I may consider it petty. I may think it's something I can control. God hates sin. And because man had sinned, man had become the enemy of God. We were separated from a holy God. But God, by his grace, had a plan to reconcile us. Man back to God. But he had to have a peacemaker. Look at verse 20 through verse 22, folks. We've sang about it this morning. Come behold the wondrous mystery. Come behold our Jesus on the cross. Come behold the one who died. Come see him. Listen, he is the peacemaker between God and man. And I should say he is the only peacemaker between God and man. Verse 20, having made peace. How? Through the blood of his cross. What is the means of our peace? Through the blood of the cross. By him to reconcile all things to himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated. Again, he's talking about me here. He's looking at Roy and he's looking at you and he says, you were once alienated, you were once enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he reconciled. How? Look at the very next verse. In the body of his flesh. Jesus came and died. He died so that he can reconcile us, bring peace to man and God, to present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. Listen, when God sees us through the blood of his son, Jesus, he sees us holy, unblameable, unreprovable. Outside of Christ, he sees us in sin and he hates that sin and he rejects us in his kingdom one day. You say, well, if that's the God, if God's going to reject me, then he's just got to reject me. You'll follow him or you won't. You'll believe it or you won't. You'll repent or you won't. He is peacemaker. Two things happened when Christ died on the cross to bring our reconciliation. First of all, this is very important. You say, that's a big Bible word. It's a very important Bible word. I want you to write this down. When Christ died and took our sins to the cross, when he took his body of flesh through death for us, God, listen to me, God was propitiated, not man. God was propitiated. You say, that's a big word. Yes, it is. What does it mean? It means God was fully satisfied. Finally, that which had separated him from his creature, his chief creation, man. God said someone had to pay for the sin of man, and man can't do it. You can't do it. Lady, you can't pay for your sin. Don't try it. Don't try to be good enough to pay for your sin. Young man, you can't pay for your sin. Don't try to live moral enough to pay for your sin. You can't. You will never satisfy God. You can't satisfy him. Jesus satisfied him on the cross. And when Jesus died and said, it is finished, and he bore your sins on the cross for the first time since man sinned, God was satisfied. Because the perfect sacrifice, the only sacrifice that could cure your sin and pay your sin debt in full was Jesus. Jesus. And when you trust in him by faith, believing that he is God in the flesh, who came to bear your sins on the cross, who died for you, who was buried, who was rose again, when you by faith look to holy God, humbled before him that God would even consider you. What is man that you are mindful of him? And yet in his creation, when he knew that we would fall, he had a Savior waiting, his own son. And he came and bore our sins on the cross. And we believe by faith in that Jesus, we are made perfect, now unblameable, because God is satisfied. You say, seems to me like God is selfish. No, God is God, and he's holy.
If this broadcast has affected your life today, or if you have any questions about anything that you have heard, please feel free to write us at info@mmbconline.org or like and comment on our Facebook page. This has been Together in Christ, the radio ministry of Monroe Missionary Baptist Church. Have a blessed day.